It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, the mayors of three western Wisconsin communities joined the show for a look at flooding over the last week. First, Keely Boltina joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in. That's thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for all your favorite Wisconsin Public Radio programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this show and everything else you hear on WPR possible. Hey, Keely.
Hey, Rob. Today is the start of a special two-day-long Public Media Giving Days movement. It's a time to recognize the importance of nonprofit information and inspiration in our communities. So to celebrate, we've got a group of generous members matching all donations up to, drumroll please, $60,000.
Drumroll. Sorry, I missed my cue there.
Yeah, we'll work on it. We'll work on it.
Now, $60,000, dollar-for-dollar match, it is their way of encouraging you to join the Public Media Giving Days movement by supporting the WPR programs that you and the whole state of Wisconsin count on. Double your impact right now. It's a fantastic opportunity online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
This is not just radio. It's public radio. And what does public radio mean? It means listener-supported radio.
While we do appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars, listener support really is the biggest source of funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift of any amount really does matter at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like to tell people when I support something, and sometimes that's just, you know, explaining it to them, but other times I like to wear something or carry something that shows my support. This member drive, you can toast to WPR with your new tumbler. It's an elegant glass. It's got a sound wave design on it and a clear shout out to your favorite station. So ask for your tumbler when you give $12 a month or more. Do that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio exists as it is right now because people contribute. When we all give, our contributions add up to make this program possible. Your contribution really does make a big difference.
It is as simple as that. One gift at a time, listeners make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. So make your gift now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Now, I know you're busy. Probably your time is valuable. We get that here. So we, I mean the people who are smarter than I am, have figured out how to make the process as fast as possible. Giving takes just a few minutes. You give us your name, your contact information, tell us how much you want to give and how you'd like to pay for it.
It's quick, it's easy to do, and your gift right now really makes a difference. So take the next few minutes to support the station that you count on and that you provide to everyone across the state of Wisconsin when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This Public Media Giving Days Challenge is in effect. Celebrate independent public media when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And because of this challenge, your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And I'm just saying, we've got that new WPR tumbler. That glass is a perfect way to enjoy your favorite beverage and also share the fact that WPR is your source for news and inspiration. So ask for yours at that $12 a month giving level. You can do that when you donate online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
If you are not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you do that, your first year of contributions will be matched right now.
This is such a great time. Troy in Algoma says, radio transports me to a world where I listen closely to other people's stories. I think it benefits both our hearts and our brains to spend time focusing on other people's experiences. What a great comment, Troy. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Troy gets it. How about you? You can join Troy and thousands of other people who have made that great decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Make a gift. Get it matched dollar for dollar right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. Now, spring floods have been hitting communities over a wide range of western Wisconsin and in neighboring states. In some places, the Mississippi and Wisconsin rivers reached near record levels, causing road closures and flooded homes. The flooding reached across communities including Prairie du Chien in the southwest part of the state up to La Crosse, farther north to Fountain City. Well, the mayors of those three communities are on the line right now for a look at the situation in their cities. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you right now? Are you currently dealing with spring flood waters in your part of the state or the aftermath? What damage, if any, are you seeing? Have you seen people in your community pitch in and help each other out? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Gwen Cotula is the mayor of Fountain City. Mayor Cotula, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
Then further south, Mitch Reynolds is the mayor of La Crosse. Mayor Reynolds, thanks for being with us. And then Dave Hemmer is mayor of Prairie du Chien. Mayor Hemmer, thanks for being here.
You bet. Glad to be here.
Mayor Cotula, let's start with you. Tell us what you've seen in Fountain City over the last week or so.
Well, what's been nice over this past week is we watched the waters recede rather than go up. So that was nice to see. We did a lot of monitoring and waiting this week as we watched the waters recede to anticipate, you know, what do those next moves look like for Fountain City?
And Mayor Cotula, it sounds like it definitely, even though we were knocking on the door of record high waters, it sounds like it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been a lot worse. You know, for Fountain City in the last years, this would be a top three flood, but wasn't as bad as the 2001. You know, having been through those previously, we're a little, you know, prepared for this one, but it did impact a lot of our downtown and forced businesses to close for this entire flood drive. We had to detour traffic through town, which makes that a little troublesome for our local residents as well, but we managed.
And Mayor Reynolds, what did peak waters look like in La Crosse?
Oh, first of all, Rob, thanks for having me on. I'm sorry I was muted before.
That's okay, it happens.
It's always been a dream to be on a fundraising drive here for a so. Here I am. You know, having floodwaters recede is a much better feeling than watching them come up. That's for certain. You know, we had, this is the third highest flood on record for us. 2001 was a little bit higher. We were able to deal with the floodwaters a little bit more, and In fact, the change was dramatic over 2001 because of our investments in stormwater infrastructure. Just able to move water out of the lower areas into areas where we have flood water storage capacity in our large marsh to some extent, just in the La Crosse River, there was some additional capacity there. So in our floodplain area on the north side of the city, we didn't have some of the more significant water issues that we've had in the past. The biggest damage was to our parks. Multiple parks were underwater. You know, whenever the groundwater comes up, there's flooding in basements. There's a lot of folks dealing with that, and we're hoping that they'll be able to recover some of those damages. But, you know, it really, for us, this reinforced how important it is to invest in stormwater infrastructure and really to look at sustainable methods of storing floodwater, like in a, you know, large absorption area like a marsh or something like that, creating wetlands to store floodwater. So good lessons here.
All right, let's go downstream now to Prairie du Chien. Mayor Hemmer, you had the most recent, I think, crest. What did that look like in Prairie?
Yes, we got up to 23.6, I believe, was the crest, and that would be the same as the other two. It was the third highest. 2001 was a little higher, and then, of course, back in 65 was the all-time record at 25.4. So we're very thankful that we didn't reach that because they were kind of predicting that it might hit that or go even higher for a while. So thankfully, it did not.
Mayor Hemmer, let's stay with you for a minute. How does the community respond at a time like this? Were people out sandbagging and doing other things to get ready?
Yes, they were. We had a tremendous response from local people here. We had the high school kids. They let them out of school for a day, and we had over 100 of them filling sandbags, placing sandbags down on the lower end of town where the floodwaters were, and we had our county emergency government coordinator. He was we worked very well together with him. He was good to work with, and we got several businesses in town donated sand for the sandbag. We had, you know, we have a Wisconsin State Prison here in town for anybody who doesn't know, and we actually had them filling, well, they filled, I'm not sure the exact number, but it was in the thousands of sandbags. So, yeah, we all pitched in together. It was a great effort.
And then, Mayor Cotulla, same question. How did the community come together? And again, in a community that's seen serious flooding in the past.
It was the same result. We had just an outpouring of local support as well. We had our high school students show up on several days, and it was very rewarding to see those students working hand in hand with the local residents. And they were upbeat, which made the sandbagging a little more on the fun side than feeling like desperation. So that was really great. But we just had a general overall support from our local citizens. We had people driving in from La Crescent, La Crosse, Elma. And for those people, that's actually get in the car and drive to Fountain City to help us. So it was really, really rewarding to see that.
And Mayor Reynolds, in La Crosse, I know you said a lot of this was in the parks. Did you need a community turnout to get ready there?
No, I mean, I think we understood what we, at this point, we know which parks will be underwater when we get to certain heights of floodwater. So we knew what to expect. We anticipated that there would be damage in those parks. We anticipated what our cleanup efforts would have to be like afterwards. I want to echo what Mayor Cotulla said about folks helping out others, though, because we had people in La Crosse working hand in hand with the next door with the town of Campbell, which has some very low-lying areas. They did some significant sandbagging, and there was a very community-wide cooperative effort to try to limit the incursion into people's homes. So now the town of Campbell and the town of Shelby, to a certain extent, there were certainly some impacts there. And so I'm just grateful that we have a community where people are willing to lend a hand, like Mayor Cotulla was alluding to.
We're talking to the mayors of La Crosse, Prairie du Chien, and Fountain City about the flooding across the western part of the state over the last week. If you've been filling sandbags in the last week or so, love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Let us know what you saw in your community, but call in quick, 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with the mayors of Fountain City, La Crosse, and Prairie du Chien about flooding in their communities over the last week. A lot of western Wisconsin saw parts of the Mississippi River hitting near record levels. And, of course, in our neighboring states, Minnesota and now Iowa and Illinois are seeing some of those high waters. Let's look toward the future now. And Mayor Reynolds, you were starting to talk about some changes you've already made in La Crosse when it comes to flood-related infrastructure. What kind of things are you looking to in the future for, you know, knock on wood, it's not soon, but for the next time we see high waters there?
Well, any investment in infrastructure is going to help. We can move water around from areas that are susceptible to flooding to those areas that, that maybe have more floodwater storage. When we can add that infrastructure, that's hugely beneficial. We're doing a levee study right now to evaluate our levees, which are all non-accredited, by the way, by FEMA, but have been holding back the water since 1965. So they're in pretty good shape. We did, and we walked the levees every single day, 24 hours a day during this flood event, and they all held. They're doing quite well, but we're going to take another look at those and see if we can improve them to further insulate our community from future potential floods. We're again looking at those stormwater or those floodwater storage possibilities, not only in our city, but elsewhere, which is something that I would think that we'd want to do up and down the Mississippi River, is identify places where we can find ways to store floodwater so that there aren't the devastating impacts to communities as we've seen in the past. It's billions of dollars of damage in the last 20 years. So there's a lot of stuff to do there, but that's really it. You need stormwater, you need floodwater capacity or stormwater storage capacity, and you need an ability to move the water. And then at the end of the day, when you have homes in a floodplain or when you have low-lying areas, just physically got to lift them up. That's really what it comes down to, is they have to be higher than you anticipate the water is going to get. And that's a long-term process that involves a lot of property purchases and a lot of construction, but those are kind of the key elements.
And then Mayor Hemmer and Prairie du Chien, are there the things you'd like to work toward for, again, in the hopefully distant future when the next flood rolls around?
Well, in the past here, I'm not sure how familiar you are with Prairie, but back in when we had the big major flood in 65, we have a place called St. Farrell Island. It's actually an island that is part of the city, and we had a lot of people that lived over there back in the 60s. So in the 70s, had the Corps of Engineers came in and said that you got to do something about that. So we actually bought most people's property, moved them off the island, and that solved a lot of the problems back then. We still have flooding on the lower end of the city, down toward the river, but it'd be kind of tough down here to build any kind of a flood wall, per se, because people have their houses right on the riverbank in some areas. We've looked at maybe somehow installing some walls in a couple different places, and more like what Mayor Reynolds was talking about, places where we can store the flood water and let it drain away naturally.
And Mayor Cotulla, same basic question. Are there things you hope could happen to make Fountain City a little more flood-proof in the future?
I wish I could say that we have solutions like they do in La Crosse and Prairie du Chien, but our landscape just doesn't allow for that. We are tucked against the bluffs. Our community is on the bluff side, and it comes abruptly to the Mississippi River. And so moving stormwater and moving floodwaters is not in the cards for our municipality. But you know, we do have ordinances in place that if you are in the floodplain and you look to build, you got to build higher. But that means for our existing businesses that are in that floodplain and flood fringe areas, there is no alleviation from the floodwaters other than to help sandbag and keep the waters away from the properties.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to all three of our guests for joining us today. We've been hearing from Mayor Gwen Cotulla of Fountain City, Mayor Mitch Reynolds of La Crosse, and Mayor Dave Hemmer of Prairie du Chien. They're with us to talk about the spring flooding in their communities. Best to them and their communities as they clean up. And I look forward to visiting all three of them again, hopefully as soon as this summer. Coming up, Disney is suing Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. We'll talk to a constitutional law expert about the First Amendment arguments behind the case. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Keely Boltina is with me. Your gift right now is so important because gifts from people like you are the biggest source of funding for all your favorite WPR programs. Central Time, all the shows you count on are possible thanks to your support. Give right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Now is a great time to make your gift. It is during Public Media Giving Days. Your support goes twice as far for WPR's essential service. All gifts up to $60,000 will be doubled thanks to a generous group of our current members.
This challenge is their way to inspire you and your support of the programs you and your entire community count on. Let's meet that challenge. Your gift of any amount right now is doubled. It makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is a place for conversation and for learning. Think about what you've just heard here on Central Time, how we've gone to different places and different leaders in different communities to understand what's happening with flooding in their area. And that's valuable because you care about people in communities across Wisconsin, and also because you can learn from them and think about how your community might be affected. It is this kind of conversation that you count on from Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. That means that your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your donation.
Maybe you pay your bills online. Maybe it's all set up on your phone. Support WPR in a similar streamlined way. You can do that when you become a sustainer.
When you become a sustainer, you choose a monthly amount that works for you, say $5 or $10 or $20 a month. Then you set up automatic ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or your credit card. You can set that all up at WPR.org or 888 888- 205-202-2552. It's easy to get that started, and then your support of Wisconsin Public Radio is always going to be current.
Think about the time you spend listening to WPR just in the car. Not those other times, but just in the car. Weekdays, you get news and issues. Weekends, you get laughs and music.
You make great use of your time when you listen in the car. You get where you're going, and you get information and inspiration. Your life is better, more enjoyable every time you get behind the wheel.
Yeah, your gift also then makes the quality time you spend with us in the car, or the truck, or the minivan, or anywhere else possible. So now is the time. Give it WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're driving said vehicle right now, just make a little commitment to yourself that when you get where you're going, then you'll make that gift to public radio. Hey, maybe giving a dollar a day is a good amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. It's a pretty good value. It's less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
A dollar a day comes out to, you know, roughly $30 a month. That is a good number. You can start up that with a monthly transfer from your bank account or your credit card. Make your gift now in whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our Public Media Giving Days Challenge still going on, looking to match $60,000 over today and tomorrow. Hey, we're almost halfway there, which is pretty awesome. Just $31,000 yet to go to hit that entire challenge. Celebrate independent public media when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Want to make sure we get to this. Dale in Waukesha says, I am already a sustaining member who loves WPR and wanted to show my appreciation. Dale, thank you so much. You make such a good point. If you're a sustaining member, you can increase or give WPR a bonus right now during this member drive. How do they do it, Rob?
Go online to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Takes just a few minutes. Get your gift doubles with this very special two-day challenge match going on as we speak. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a constitutional law expert joins us to look at Disney's lawsuit against Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and what it can mean for corporations' free speech rights. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Keely Baltina is with me. Listeners, that means you provide the largest source of funding here at WPR, and this drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. So give right now, online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
It is Public Media Giving Day. Over the next 2 days, you can join the nationwide movement to recognize the importance of nonprofit public media. And right now, all gifts up to $60,000 will be doubled thanks to a generous group of our members.
And great news. We've had an awesome start on this today. Now we have $31,119 left in that dollar for dollar match. Thank you so much if you've already given today and helped us get that far. If not, your gift now really will help. Donate any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and join in this exciting challenge.
Have you ever heard something on the Ideas Network that you wanted to pass on to a friend? Not a hypothetical. Rob, have you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm all the time telling people about what I talked about on the show that day.
I bet so. Chances are you probably have too. With program notes on WPR.org and the audio archives, you can even pass things on. Maybe you already do.
And I have done this many times. I shared those audio archives with people. It's a great way to help stay connected with others by passing on ideas, stories, and information. We help you stay connected with your friends and family and with the world. Your donation keeps this connection going.
Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At WPR, we have a core group of supporters who give month after month, year after year. They willingly, voluntarily give because they depend on this vital resource. Will you count on WPR too? And maybe for whatever reason you haven't given for the first time yet.
Listen, WPR relies on new donors like you to grow and to keep this high quality programming on the air. So today is your day. Show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount is right for you, is all it takes.
Introducing the newest addition to your drinkware collection, the WPR Glass Tumbler. Show off your support for WPR while enjoying your favorite beverage from this high-quality 11-ounce glass. Whether it's your morning iced coffee or a relaxing nightcap, add some elegance to the experience when you ask for your WPR Glass Tumbler with your gift of $12 a month or more. Here's how.
Make the gift, get the glass at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's the Spring Member Drive here on Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Keely Boltina is with me. The WPR programs you count on are possible thanks to your generous support. Your contribution of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a big difference for our entire community.
We're going to do some rounding here, but you said $10 a month is an option, right?
I did.
So a $10 a month contribution works out to like 33 cents a day.
That's not much.
It's not. And when you think about the daily information you get, potentially the inspiration, the ideas you get to pass on to other people, I mean, you get a lot from WPR programs. So 33 cents a day is a pretty great value.
Yeah. When you think about it, you can't get a lot for 33 cents a day. Make your gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your 33 cent per day investment will yield programs that keep you engaged and up to date.
And after you've made your donation to WPR, that's step one. Step two is making your gift go a little further by telling your friends and family.
You can go on social media, call them up, mention it when you see them, yell through their window. Let them know that you support news, talk, and music on Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then browbeat your other WPR fans in your life to do the same.
Browbeat in a positive fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
In a good way.
Always. Always. That's the only way I think about browbeat. Our Public Media Giving Days Challenge is in effect right now. Celebrate independent public media when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far.
There's this brand new Wisconsin Public Radio glass tumbler. It's a great way to enjoy your favorite beverage and share the fact that WPR is your source for news and conversation and inspiration. Ask for your WPR glass when you give $12 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Elizabeth in Galesburg says, I canceled my streaming services and became a member of WPR when I realized I was actually more interested in the stories I hear on your programs. Very cool, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for your support.
Fantastic, Elizabeth. Thank you so much. How about you? You count on Wisconsin Public Radio for great conversations each and every day. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The Walt Disney Company filed a lawsuit last week against Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and other state officials. The suit accuses DeSantis of a, quote, campaign of government retaliation, end quote, against Disney and of violating its First Amendment rights. The dispute between Disney and DeSantis started when previous Disney CEO Bob Chapek publicly criticized Florida's Parental Rights in Education Act, which critics call the Don't Say Gay Bill. Disney's filing now came after the governor appointed a board of supervisors to oversee Disney's theme park district. That board voted to invalidate an agreement the company had with the state over development rights in the district, which prompted the suit. The lawsuit claims that the governor's actions were a retaliation for the political expression of company executives. Governor DeSantis has dismissed the suit as politically motivated, and the board in question is countersuing now. Howard Schwaber is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and an affiliate professor at the UW Law School. He's an expert on constitutional law. I talked to him earlier today. Can you talk, first of all, about the First Amendment issues in this case? There's a few different things going on here when it comes to contracts and things like that, but focusing in on Disney's First Amendment arguments, what do you see at stake?
Right, and this is absolutely the core of the case. Everything else is peripheral. The complaint, as drafted by Disney, as complaints usually do, has multiple counts of violations of due process rights and contract rights, but all of them center around the idea that DeSantis, with the aid of the Florida legislature, is retaliating against Disney because Disney criticized what is colloquially known as the Don't Say Gay law in Florida.
What would Disney have to prove to the courts to have them say, yes, we agree these actions by the state are retaliation for your political speech?
Well, I mean, that's a really interesting question. So the first question, of course, is, can the government do that? Can the government treat a business differently because of its exercise of its First Amendment rights? And the usual answer is no. Retaliation would be a violation of First Amendment rights. DeSantis, I'm sure, will argue, A, that this is not retaliation, which goes to your question, but B, that because this is merely a matter of granting government contracts, this doesn't really qualify as retaliation so much as simply a coincidental shift in doing business. So Disney, to get to your question, has to prove that it was specifically in response to their public criticism, Bob Iger's public criticism of the governor's proposed law, which is now law, that these changes were made. Based on my reading of the complaint, they have an awfully strong case. One of the legislators, in fact, the legislator who introduced the measure, said in a meeting before a government affairs committee of the Florida House, this is targeting Disney.
Yeah, the Disney.
Sorry. Well, so it's important to put this a little bit more context. So for 50 or 60 years, Disney's had this special arrangement in which they've largely been a self-governing entity within the land that they own and had purchased from the state. This enabled them to impose taxes, in many cases, taxes on themselves higher than those in the rest of the state, which they could then turn around and use to develop the property and build what became, of course, Disney World. After the, let's call it an altercation, in which Disney criticized DeSantis, and DeSantis quite publicly declared he was going after Disney, the Florida legislature moved to put in a new governing board. And both that board and members of the legislature started to talk about things like putting up signs on the road leading to Disney World, disparaging Disney World and advertising other resorts, or building competing resorts right next door, or one of the most famous examples that DeSantis brought up, building a prison right next door. And DeSantis's famous or infamous comment was, there are lots of things we can do, meaning lots of things we can do to make Disney's life miserable. Disney alleges that it only brought this lawsuit after those kinds of retaliatory steps were discussed. So it's not just the creation of a new board and stacking that board with DeSantis loyalists, but the specific complaint is that that board has set out on a campaign to undermine Disney's business interests and harm them in retaliation for their political expression. And I have to say, it looks like an extremely strong case.
Yeah, the Disney complaint cites an article by Governor DeSantis in National Review promoting his new book. A couple quotes from that article, quote, "When corporations try to use their economic power to advance a woke agenda, they become political and not merely economic actors," end quote. And then, quote, "Leaders must stand up and fight back when big corporations make the mistake, as Disney did, of using their economic might to advance a political agenda," end quote. There are other quotes from the governor's memoir and elsewhere. Do you see that as more or less an admission of, yes, this is retaliation for their political speech?
It really kind of is. And, you know, ironically, of course, well, first of all, corporations have used their economic clout to promote conservative political agendas since time immemorial. So, you know, DeSantis is being a little hypocritical here. But secondly, and really incredibly relevant, and here is the Citizens United case that I'm sure our listeners remember. Mm-hmm. In Citizens United, the context was campaign contributions. The U.S. Supreme Court adopted an extremely strong statement that corporations have free speech rights, just like private individuals. So DeSantis is going on about corporations using their economic might, and therefore they're no longer merely economic, is from a First Amendment perspective, meaningless, because the Supreme Court has declared in really unmistakable terms that corporations are not merely economic entities, and they have the right to engage in political expression on exactly the same basis as a private individual. Obviously, if the government were to target an individual for criticizing the governor, that would be unconstitutional.
Talking to Howard Schwaber, professor of political science and constitutional law expert at UW-Madison, looking at First Amendment issues surrounding the Disney Corporation's lawsuit against Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and others claiming retaliation, political retaliation over the company's leaders criticizing a bill, a law now in Florida. If Disney wins here, Howard, is there a concern that other companies might try to use this as an opening to look at regulations that affect them that they don't like and try to find, I don't know, a Disney loophole and say, hey, we think we're being politically targeted?
Well, I mean, they might. Of course, the burden of proof would be on them to show that they're being targeted. It's not common that a governor, you know, writes a book and then goes to the Wall Street Journal to say, I'm targeting a corporation because of its political views. It's really a, if DeSantis's goal had been to harm Disney, this would be a terrible strategy. Of course, that's not his goal. His goal is to gain fame as an anti-woke warrior. And on that score, I suspect he doesn't care if he loses at the end of the day. It's a quite a hard case to make most of the time. You really need an extreme and extraordinary situation. This happens to be one of those situations. So, yeah, I'm sure some other corporations somewhere, you know, trying to get out of a state contract with California so I can move to Texas or something, as Tesla did, perhaps, something like that, will try to make an argument of this kind. But as I say, it's ordinarily quite difficult to meet the initial burden of proof.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up the, I think, uniqueness of this case. I mean, I'm not a constitutional law expert, but I can't think of a high-profile First Amendment case like this to compare it to. How weird is this?
It's extraordinarily weird. You know, as I mentioned before, think in Wisconsin of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, or think nationally of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, or think of the way corporations make campaign donations and fund PACs, right? Corporations have been involved in politics since as long as there have been business corporations, going back into the 1800s. And it's never been problematic, partly because they've pretty much always been politically conservative. Of course, lots of corporations have made donations to liberal and democratic candidates as well. But when it comes to lobbying for specific policies, generally the trend has been that corporations try to do what's in the interest of their shareholders. In recent years, there's been an increase in shareholder interest and therefore in corporate interest in being socially responsible or green, as the saying goes. And that has given rise to this interesting situation of the same economic might being used in exactly the same ways, this time in favor of causes that are not favored by pro-business Republicans and conservatives. And I think suddenly, you know, some conservatives are finding themselves caught flat-footed. It had never occurred to them that the freedom of giving money speech rights could be used to advance liberal causes. The woke issue, to use a very crude shorthand that Governor DeSantis is fond of, is a real case in point. National corporations in particular, and Disney is certainly a national business, want to appeal to the LGBTQ plus community. They want to appeal to the community of people who share those values, which include an awful lot of money-spending American consumers, and their own shareholders and directors quite often share those values. So, I mean, DeSantis is taking a position that if one thought he meant this seriously, that he was seriously trying to stop Disney from affecting Florida politics, it would seem absurd. The only explanation I can see is that he's engaging in what he realizes perfectly well is a blatantly unconstitutional act as a matter of political showmanship. But, you know, this Supreme Court has surprised us before. In this case, though, in order to favor DeSantis, they would have to effectively overrule Citizens United. And I just can't imagine that happening.
And flipping things around now, I asked if, you know, what if Disney prevails? Would that set a precedent for other corporations? Now, if Disney doesn't and DeSantis does win out here, do you see that potentially opening the door for more government bodies, government leaders using their positions to punish corporations they view as taking the wrong opinion, a big corporation or a local bar who donated to my opponent if I'm the mayor?
Unquestionably. So something like, I don't have the exact number, I apologize, but something like 30 states have laws that say the state will do no business with anyone who participates in the boycott, what's called the BDS movement, the boycott of Israel or Israeli occupied territory based businesses. The early versions of those laws, including one in California, originally said states would not do business with anyone who expressed support for that boycott. Those provisions were stricken after some early rulings by federal courts. But using just that one example, if the Supreme Court were to rule that, yes, DeSantis may engage in effectively retaliatory action against a business that criticizes his policies, then I have no doubt that, again, using only one of myriad examples, all those states that have laws that retaliate against people who participate in the BDS movement would go back to their original versions and retaliate against anyone who expresses support for that movement. I think it would become a not merely widespread, I think the practice would become rife. Pardon. And by the way, across all areas of the political spectrum, I would expect some states to go after businesses that support conservative causes and other states to go after businesses that support liberal or radical causes.
Howard, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Howard Schwaber, professor of political science at UW-Madison, affiliate professor at the UW Law School. He was with us today to talk about Disney's First Amendment lawsuit against Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Your support is a foundation of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. It's the largest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great conversations. That's why Keely Boltina is with me to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make a gift now during Public Media Giving Days, and your support goes twice as far for WPR's essential service. All gifts up to $60,000 will be doubled thanks to a generous group of current members.
This challenge is their way to inspire your support of the programs you and in your entire community rely on. Let's meet that challenge about halfway there right now. Your gift of any amount really does make a difference. Make it online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
In this last segment here on Central Time, we learned a lot about what's happening in Florida and why the Disney DeSantis kerfuffle matters immensely across the country when it comes to corporations and speech and politicization and money. I mean, these are issues that are important. This is a way to stay informed. This is the kind of conversation that you expect and you count on from Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. That means we count on your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make the many topics you tune in for every day possible when you choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Also, this member drive, you can ask for the new WPR glass tumbler. So whether that's your morning orange juice or an evening cocktail, as we get closer to that time of day, this elegant glass will be your go-to. So you can make room in your drinkware cabinet and ask for your WPR glass tumbler with a gift of $12 a month or more. Do that today at WPR.org or give at 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. WPR is a great value. Of course, it's free if you can't afford it, but I find that donating makes me feel better because I'm supporting something for people who maybe can't donate right now. And if you are a donor, I really think it's important to become a sustainer. You never have to worry about, oh, God, should I write the check this year or not? It's there, it's ongoing, they've got it in the pocket, and then you've got all that good stuff in your ears.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
You can do that online at WPR.org or make a quick phone call at 888-202-2552. It's the Spring Member Drive. Rob Ferret here with Keely Boltina on Central Time. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. That's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does have a big impact.
Listeners make the programs here at Wisconsin Public Radio worthwhile. And then there are members. Members make the programs possible.
You get all of these great shows because members, people just like you who donate, kick in the largest amount of funding for WPR programs. You can become a member right now. Help make WPR possible with your gift of $100 or $10 a month, any amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rob, what you just mentioned about the different amounts, that's a really important piece of funding WPR. Everyone should give the gift that works for them. For you, maybe that's a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for a cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our Public Media Giving Days challenge is still in effect. Celebrate independent public media when you give at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552. Your support of WPR goes twice as far.
It's a great time to give. Love to make a lot of progress on that challenge. $60,000, long way to go. You can be a part of it if you give right now. And grab the new WPR glass tumbler when you give $12 a month or more. This is a cool-looking glass. It's got the Soundwave logo. It says Wisconsin Public Radio on it. Looks real handy. I haven't seen one in person, but I've seen it online. It looks great. You can ask for yours when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Alan in Madison says, I found the station shortly after graduating from college in 1974. It has remained my daily companion to this day. Alan, it's been great to have you along over the decades. Now is the time to join Alan. Thanks again, Alan, for your gift.
Whether you've been listening for decades or days, we would love to hear from you with your gift right now. Make it online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and get it matched. Your gift goes twice as far with this very special two-day match going on. A lot of great reasons to give right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support.